Well, everyone, we told you we had a plan in place to bring even more content to you, and we have actually lived up to that, okay? We've obviously moved our sets to our own individual homes because now we can just quickly hop on calls. We've got everything set up, good to go, rather than having to set up, you know, the little studio, which is my office. On the fly, and obviously it means Matt has to come to my house and yada yada. But now we have this, right? And we are bringing you a post-quali reaction. Yes, that is right. We've just come off the back of qualifying at the Canadian Grand Prix. And I must say, what a lap from George Russell. So this episode is going to be shorter than normal. We are going to try and bring you these every single week. We're aiming for the 20-minute mark. However, we both like to ramble on a little bit, but we will try and keep it shorter and concise. But yeah, we are BoxBox, partnered with BoxBox Club, powered by BoxBox Club, a F1 widget app which you can download on the App Store or the Google Store. We do also offer an exclusive discount code, BoxBoxPod30, which will get you 30% discount off the Ultra subscription if you do want to get that. If not, it's free to try. So download it, give it a go, and turn your phone into a little F1 hub. It also works on your Apple Watch, which I just held up to the screen, which I'm well aware you can't see because this isn't going on YouTube. However, let's crack on.
All right, guys. So qualifying, as you said, awesome lap from George Russell. He just seems to do it every time, doesn't he? Every time you think that Mercedes doesn't look strong enough, he just pulls out a phenomenal lap.
How many times have I said this season, don't write him off for the World Championship? Because I think it still exists to some capacity, less so than when I first said it, which was very early on. And I know what people are thinking. You're stupid. You're not wrong. I agree with you to some extent. But I still think there is something about George Russell that I think I just don't write him off. And I think today showed why. I know the Mercedes has looked good all weekend, but it didn't look that good when it came to qualifying.
No, and I agree.
Out of nowhere, he pulls up this lap, which is like something I'd only expect Max to be able to do at the moment. And Max had kind of pulled out that lap. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Already. And then George comes in out of nowhere. Yeah, unbelievable. And I mean, this got me thinking, right? We spoke about Kimi Antonelli not being a generational talent last week. Should we look at their qualifying head-to-head?
I mean, you can do.
Russell 9, Antonelli 1.
You know, so it's close. It's close then.
Yeah, it's super close between the
pair. Could go either way.
You know, Antonelli looked like he was struggling a little bit more this weekend. Or so far this weekend, should I say. My God, this is going to take some getting used to. But, you know, he got fourth place in the end, which I think...
I mean, you've got to remember, he's ahead of Norris. He's ahead of the Ferraris. P4 for Antonelli heading into the race tomorrow is not a bad, you know, result for him. But
this is the complication with Antonelli. If he's generational, it is a bad result. Because
you're asking him to go ahead to beat Max Verstappen, Oscar Piastri, and, you know, even his teammate Russell. Russell is Mr. Saturday. He's got that name for a reason.
He was 4.5 tenths off him.
Granted.
Look, I know he's young. I know he's young. But he's going to have a great career ahead of him. That's not what I'm saying. I just think I was expecting Kimi to come into this season, and I was expecting to see more from him, basically. He's been by no means bad, poor at all. He's been very, very solid. I think I just was expecting him to be exceptional, and I haven't seen that just yet. That is all.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I hope we do see it.
We've seen glimpses of class from him. You'd go back to Miami, you know, with his qualifying for the sprint race, got pole position. You've seen glimpses of class from Antonelli. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I agree. He's someone who, we've still got to remember, he's only 18 years old. He's 18 yeah. years old. And the issue is, when you look at the likes of, when you try and compare him to when Seb came in, or Verstappen came in, or Lewis came in, he's coming in against, you know, a seven-time world champion. He's coming in against a four-time world champion. He's coming in against, you know, Oscar Piastri, who's going on for his first world championship. He's got so many, and I know the other drivers had great drivers as well, but Antonelli's got all of these other drivers to compete with, and some of these are generational talents.
Yeah, granted. Look, I don't deny that it's tricky for him. I just think I'd love to start seeing that Kimi Antonelli that we were all sort of hyped up to see.
No, I agree.
But yeah, that's, you know, it's difficult when you've got a teammate that is out of nowhere able to put in a lap like that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Let's quickly break down qualifying. So obviously Q1, Gasly, P20.
Yeah.
I think when you look at this weekend, Colapinto getting P12 and Gasly going out in Q1, P20 is a very disappointing weekend for him. However, you know, Yuki Tsunoda has got a 10-place grid penalty, so he will be starting last after qualifying P11. Something about impeding. I haven't seen it, but apparently he impeded Piastri.
I think he overtook
in the red flag.
He overtook under a red flag.
So it's
the rules. We said about the rules, you know, when you hit red flags in qualifying, and you do, there is strict liability. You've got to apply them consistently and the same to every single driver, because yeah, sometimes it might seem ridiculous, but it's just setting a precedent that is necessary.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think, you know, when you look at Tsunoda and starting P20 once again is just, it's not good for him, is it? It's not good. He missed out on Q3, starting from the back once again. It's tough for him. It's really tough.
It's crazy. And Nico Rosberg has been making me laugh this weekend when talking about Isaac Hadjar and basically saying, do not go to Red Bull. Because do you know what? It's so weird. When I was watching qualifying just a minute ago, it was in Q3 when Max was going around there. I thought, do you know what? I actually think of Red Bull as a one-man team. I don't even associate them with a second driver. I genuinely just think of them as a one-man team, and not actively. It's not something I've chosen to do. It's just, it's always Max Verstappen, never anyone else. And in my mind, I only think of Max Verstappen when I think of Red Bull. And it's that shouldn't be the case.
It's when Crofty goes, oh, you know, Max's teammate, and you're kind of like, oh yeah, I forget, he's actually got a teammate,
yeah.
Isn't he?
Yeah, has he got one? Because it does feel like that a lot of the time. And yeah, look, I feel really bad for Yuki, because he was having such a good run at the Racing Bulls. But ultimately, that's not the pinnacle of F1. And he had to take this step up. But it's just not working out. But yeah, you know, another tough day at the office for Yuki Tsunoda, but another brilliant day at the office for Max Verstappen. Because again, do I think that car is worthy of P2? Probably not. It's not the shit box that people make out. Certainly not a rocket ship. But once again, Max proving that if you put the right man in the car, they'll get the job done.
Yeah, 100%. Liam Lawson, P19. Disappointing day for him in the RBs. Lance Stroll, back from his, you know, procedure. Look,
should have stayed in bed.
Yeah, he's, you know, tomorrow is his 175th racing, you know, event. And it was race start, sorry. And that's pretty impressive for someone who, in theory, is quite bad. And this is another Q1 exit for Lance Stroll. And God knows what he's going to do in that garage when he goes back. Is he going to chuck tyres? What's he going to lift a car? Who knows?
Well, hopefully not, because he should be recovering, remember?
Very true. Very true. He's going to kick someone in. Carlos Sainz, P17, going out in Q1. He was impeded by Hadjar. I'm expecting Hadjar to get some sort of grid place penalty for that.
Yeah, I actually, like, I have my Twitter feed up in front of me right now, just in case it comes up. Obviously, guys, if you're listening to this, you know, on Sunday, there's every possibility that things have changed and penalties have been handed out. But we are monitoring this actively. And as of right now, Hajar hasn't been given a penalty. But yeah, he will get given a penalty. He should get given a penalty. And it was interesting. They were talking about it on commentary, how, you know, the system is a... I'm not saying I can sit here and think of a more practical way, but there are people way smarter than me that I'm sure can in dealing with these, because, you know, Carlos Sainz was out in Q1. Hajar has made it through to Q3, and yeah, he might end up with a three-place grid penalty, but the lowest he's going to start is, what, P12?
Yeah.
So, do you know what I mean? Sainz is stuck in P17. It does seem unfair, and that's not Hajar's fault, by the way. I mean, it's Hajar's fault that he impeded him, but it's not Hajar's fault that the rules are the rules. There's got to be something they can think do the about team, that.
I just don't think the team told him. I think the team thought he was on a cooldown lap. So, yeah, very bizarre. But obviously, Carlos Sainz, very unhappy afterwards in the interview, going out P17, he will start tomorrow. Well, actually, he'll probably go P16 because Tsunoda is being dropped to P20. So, yeah, still disappointing. Heading in, obviously, the other one, Bortoleto, out in Q1. Then heading into Q2, you've got Ocon, Behrman going out. Behrman out qualifying Ocon once again this weekend.
Yep.
Hulkenberg, P13.
About 3 tenths as well.
Yeah, it was a very good lap for Behrman, 1:12.3, and then Ocon, 1:12.6. So, yeah, Behrman's doing all right. He's doing all right in that Haas. He's getting the most out of it. So I was quite impressed with him. As I said, Colapinto out qualifying Pierre Gasly. He could have got into Q3 today, Colapinto. If it wasn't for a bit of a snap in his final run, he was unlucky not to get into Q3.
He was looking nifty. He was. And look, we've, I think, rightly criticised him since he's come in. But at the same time said, like, you know, he's owed a bit of time. But the problem is they paid such a large amount of money for him. Basically, put someone else's career at jeopardy to get him as well, Jack Doohan. So when Jack Doohan lost his seat, you were expecting Colapinto to come in and sort of light the timing board up instantly, because that was kind of the expectation that was set. You pay big money, you get rid of someone that you've just brought in for him. It's like, okay, well, if this guy is... If all of that is happening because of this guy, he's got to be serious, right? And I said, I gave my reservations about him from his time at Williams, while also noting that he's young, exciting, definitely talented. And then there were the rumours last week that Briatore is really not very happy with him, and all of a sudden, this was a great weekend so far for him. You know, this is probably as perfect, I think, as his Saturday could get.
But I think the other rumours, obviously, we'll probably touch on in the main episode tomorrow after the race, but obviously, Alonso has been seen going in and out of Alpine this weekend. Look, I don't read too much into that. I think Sky Sports have spoken quite a lot about it. I can't see Alonso going back. I think he's invested in the Aston Martin. He's got a contract next year. But for me, I think it's just more, he knows people. He's obviously got a lot of friends around the paddock. He was there at Alpine for a while. I don't really read too much into that. I don't think he'll be leaving to go back to Alpine. He's good friends with Briatore as well. But yeah, that's the rumours that are going around this weekend. So if that are rumours and they are true, that's even more pressure for Colapinto.
Yeah, and you're right. We will address all of that in, well, I guess next week's episode after the race, because it's a confusing story.
It's weird. But we're touching that tomorrow, so check us out on the main episode, which will be out on Monday evening audio and then Tuesday on video. Let's head into Q3. Let's quickly go back to Q1. What the hell happened to Alex Albon's What happened? It just flew off. His engine cover just...
It reminded me of the Alpine in Bahrain, was it a few seasons ago?
Yeah.
That's got to be some sort of human error somewhere. Someone has made an error there. Like, that surely can't just happen. I know they explained the sort of, like, logistics of it, where basically just air got under it. And once a bit of air gets under it, it sort of just, you know, more piles in, all of a sudden, poof, rips off. But that was a gaping hole. But look, forget about that happening. I think the real marvel of that whole thing is the fact that he was back out after the red flag to set another lap. And you think, mate, imagine if you walked outside now, you were driving down the motorway and that happened to your car. Firstly, you'd be like, what the fuck? Secondly, it wouldn't be like, oh, 5 minutes and you're back on the road. Do you know what I mean? It'd be, you'd have to wait for the AA. They'd come, they'd drop you off at a garage. They'd probably take about 3 weeks to fix it. Do you know what I mean? This car came into the garage. It was about 5 minutes. And I know it's not comparable to real life, but I think it's so impressive how they're able to just turn this around. Like, that car, to me, was just write it off, lads. It looked terrible. And I know people are going to say, oh, like, yeah, it's just the engine cover, it goes on. I get that. But, like, it looked awful. And I'm just so impressed that they're able to do this stuff. I find it cool.
It does look cool, though, without the engine cover when it's driving around.
Yeah. Maybe we should just make that mandatory.
Lighter weight?
Yeah.
Much easier.
Just don't worry about the aerodynamics. Doesn't matter. just show us the engines, because they look cool.
Let's quickly run down top 10. Hadjar, P9 again, another Q3 entry for him. Solid weekend so far. The Ferraris, Lewis Hamilton P5, Charles Leclerc P8. Charles Leclerc had a very strong start to Q3. He was purple in his first sector, and then coming out of turn 6, he's blaming it on dirty air. Look, it wasn't dirty air. He just lost control there. It was a snap.
Yeah. Look, ultimately, in these situations, you're going to have to navigate other cars, right? Hadjar was round the corner, basically parked up off the racing line. I think it was clutching at straws a little bit to come in and blame Isaac for that, because I don't really think it was the case. I think it's just more likely, you know, a bit too much speed, lost the back end.
Had someone to blame. Hadjar was there.
Yeah, well, it's easier than being like, fuck, I messed up there. And but unless I missed something here, I'm surprised. Why didn't he go again?
I think he did.
But he was just super slow.
Yeah.
It's just weird, because, I mean, if we go back to qualifying head-to-heads, you know, Charles Leclerc is now 7-3 to Lewis. It's not often that we see Charles have a bad Saturday.
No.
But Lewis has looked quicker all weekend so far.
He's looked more at one with the car this weekend, Lewis, out of the pairing.
But Charles was on for a good lap, and I think Charles probably would have pipped it, Lewis, to be fair, if he was able to set that time.
I think he would probably be P3 or P4. If that on that lap, because that first sector looked very good.
Yeah.
Look, let's talk about Lando Norris, P7 for him. I sit on this podcast, and look, at the end of the day, you can say whatever you like. You can say, you can call me a Lando hater. You can say whatever you like about me. Lando Norris is another prime example that once it gets to qualifying, he looks good in free practices. He looks good in Q1. He looks good in Q2. Gets to Q3. And he buckles under pressure. And another prime example, he showed it again today in Canada. He just can't handle the pressure. And Lando Norris has been around the sport long enough now to be able to handle this pressure. Because for me, that was not a good enough lap for him. He was looking good. He then lost it in Sector 3. It's just, if he's actually the future world champion, he's got to do better.
Yeah. Look, I've sat on this podcast also and defended Lando actually for quite a long time. And I think now I am at the point where I have to say, I don't think he's cut out for a world championship. Despite his pace, I just don't think he is. I think, you know, I'm finally going to buckle to it. Piastri is the better driver.
If you want to win a world championship, you've got to be putting that car on pole or at least the front row, P1 or P2, each week. He just doesn't do it.
Yeah, you can't be making these mistakes. And, you know, if you do make these mistakes, you have to not buckle under the pressure and nail your final lap. Because, you know, P7 is just not quick enough. It's not good enough for someone that's going for a world championship. It's someone that is in the fastest car as well, by the way. And you know, don't get me wrong, I know it's really close, and in qualifying especially the cars are so close now, but that's where you need the driver to make the difference. And I'm at the point now where I don't think he's cut out for it. Look, I'd like to see him to turn it around, because I think it's so peak watching someone be that quick but absolutely just not be able to deal with the pressure. And I think, oh my God, if you can just get on top of your psyche, you can be a world champion. Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah,
but
100%.
At this point, you're back in Piastri, 100%. Mm.
Yeah, do let us know what you think about, you know, Norris. And this isn't me being harsh on him. It's just me being realistic. And I've been very, very consistent with what I've said about Norris since the beginning. And I stand by what I say. Is that I want to see him. If you're going for a championship, he was the number one, you know, beginning of the season. He is the one who's going to go for the world championship. He's the one who's going to win. Well, he's not acting like a future world champion. He's acting... rookies aren't even making these mistakes sometimes in qualifying. So, you know, it's just disappointing. Let's talk about Fernando Alonso. Solid weekend for him. P6. Yeah. P6 for him. It looks good.
When you consider that he was saying that the car is undrivable at the end of FP3, he's done all right. They were running on the mediums a lot as well.
Q1, he did the whole stint on mediums. All of his laps were just on one set of mediums. Impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, no. It's looking good so far for him, basically.
But you know what's going to happen. He's going to be falling backwards, isn't he? You just know.
Yeah, he will.
We've spoken about Antonelli, P4 for him. Piastri, I love that final run. Piastri, you know, he was yellow in his second sector, then somehow puts in a purple third sector to put him on pole position. Verstappen then comes through to take pole position. Then out of nowhere, George Russell takes pole. I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was a really entertaining quali session. I think, like I said, the fact that it's so tight in quali, we do have much better qualis now than I think we've had for a long, long time.
Yeah, 100%.
They're so, so tight. I wish we could see Lewis a little bit further up. I think tomorrow Charles will come through the pack. Norris will come through the pack. It's going to be a good race because you've kind of got Alonso as a little blocker in there for a bit of time. I think we're in for an exciting race tomorrow.
Okay, so looking ahead to the race, you know George Russell's on pole, Max is second, Piastri's third. Who is going to win the Canadian Grand Prix?
I think my money's on Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
If I had to have a backup, it would be Piastri. I don't think George is going to win it. I don't think that Mercedes has... Well, I mean, to be fair, they were looking good on the long runs, so it's entirely possible. But I think from what we've actually seen over the course of the season, your money has to be on Max. And if not, it then has to be on Piastri to come through and take it.
Yeah. I think Max or Piastri for me. I think when George I think the longer he goes on, that Mercedes may struggle race pace. In theory, that McLaren should win a race. That should win the race tomorrow. So my money, I'm going for Oscar Piastri. Oscar Piastri to win. Do let us know. Do drop a comment if you're listening on Spotify. But go and check us out on social media as well. Let us know who is going to win the Canadian Grand Prix. I haven't seen any update on Isaac Hadjar, and I don't know if you have.
No, there is thus far no update. So apologies if it has changed since you're listening to this, but we have no update right now. But hopefully everyone enjoyed the little quali rundown.
I've actually enjoyed it. I've actually enjoyed talking about it, because I don't think we, on our main episodes, we don't generally delve into qualifying as much. So actually this gives us a bit more scope to delve into qualifying a bit more and get your guys' opinion at home and just kind of give us a bit more of your view on qualifying, and we can delve in a bit more, which I kind of like.
Yeah. No, it's good. Yeah, like you say, when it comes to the actual podcast, we focus on the race because naturally we have a limited amount of time, and that's kind of where you focus your energy. But if you guys did like this and you do want us to continue doing post-quality shows, then do give us a 5-star rating, because that really does help us out. That lets us know that you're enjoying it. You can leave comments on episodes, so do let us know as well. And this has been our first quali rundown, breakdown, whatever you want to call it.
Right, that is it. It is 11 o'clock at night, so as you can tell, we're a bit tired. But yes, we'll be back on Monday with the race recap. As I said, check us out on all social media, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. We don't really use that much, but do check us out on all social media. And yeah, hopefully we're in for a good race. As I said, hope you have enjoyed this. And we'll see you next time for a brand new episode. Bye-bye.